I've heard Dr. David Homer in Trinidad at a conference when Richard and I were in Trinidad, and I was so impressed, and I have been waiting to do this for quite a while. So make sure you can see the PowerPoint, because I know all the notes that you'll take. And this afternoon at the second session for the afternoon, there will be a question and answer. And I know that that will get a lot of, and there'll be some questions, I promise you. And so let's just start with a word of prayer. I want you to just make yourself at home. Lunch will be when we get there at noontime. Also, we're going to do our best to stay on schedule. However, I'm more interested in what God has to say than I am keeping on schedule. Okay? So we just want God to have his way. I want to personally thank Dr. David Homer for taking this trip and coming into Pennsylvania. By the way, this is his first trip to Pennsylvania. And so we want to welcome you here. And this, sometime before we leave to go to convocation on Tuesday morning, I'm going to try to get him into the Amish country. He would like to see some of that, so I'm looking forward to taking some time to get him there, maybe on Monday before we leave on Tuesday morning. Okay, let's just, we're going to take a break. What time? 10-ish. So we're going to give you a 15-minute break about 10 o'clock so you can get your mind to try to, as you're taking all that in, to rest a little bit and refresh yourself. And then we'll start and go again till around noontime. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just want to honor you, first of all. Father, without Jesus, there was nothing. We are nothing. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit that infills us and dwells in us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and that has opened the door for us to enter into your kingdom. And so, Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would write this word on the walls of our heart. Father, that it would not just be a word that we hear and we leave forgetting it, but Father, that you would change our lives. Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher this morning and all this weekend. And Father, I just pray for Michelle as she's at home. Father, I thank you for her, and I pray a blessing upon her. Lord, as she's praying over this time, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to her, comfort her, be with her, fill her with your joy this morning in the family. And Lord, I just pray for Dr. David. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the word that you placed in his heart. I thank you for all that you're doing in his life, and I just give you praise and honor. Now, Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here. Father, we're in love with you. We know that it is all about you and that your desire and for your kingdom to come to earth as it is in heaven, O God. Teach us of your ways, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So if you can't see, move now, because you'll want to see, you'll want to write. It is a privilege and an honor to introduce to you Dr. David Homer, who I just only met for the second time, but I have just, our hearts have just connected, and I just appreciate him so much, and I know we're going to hear a lot about him in the future to come. I believe that God is just releasing him to the body of Christ around the world, nation to nation, and what he has to share this morning is going to change your life, because God is doing it. Brother David.
Good morning, everyone. This is like, I think I need to move the podium up. We have so much room up front. If you don't mind, I'll feel a little bit more comfortable. Good morning, everyone. It really is a pleasure to be here. I am really honored. Thank you. Since I've been here, and I've spent some time with Pastor Eugene, and just a few minutes around in the church yesterday, I just have this sense that you guys have a really good community here. Love. And it flows from the heart of your leader right into your community. When we break, and if I'm going to be chatting with anyone, my name is David. My name is not Doctor. It's David. So feel free to, I am more comfortable, people just calling me by my name and not what I do necessarily. I heard Pastor Eugene said that, and Lisa saying that we'll be breaking around 10-ish. I don't know if that's going to really be so. But we're going to let God have his way. I came to Philadelphia. Pennsylvania, okay. Okay. So I came here really to spend this time with you and share what God would have me to share with you. So Pastor Eugene, you said whatever I ministered a couple of years ago when you heard that, and you were impressed with that, I may not be ministering that at all. So I'm not sure exactly what was done then, but perhaps some of that may come out. And it's been promoted that this is going to be a health seminar. Is that what you were told? It's a health seminar? Yeah? It has something to do with health. It has something to do with health. And it is health according to the kingdom of God. And what I want to do this morning or throughout between this morning and lunchtime is I want to begin by looking at understanding the kingdom's concept of what health is. And then this afternoon, I want to look at what everybody thinks health is, which is all about your body and how it feels and how it functions and diet and that type of stuff. But I want to, this morning I think is more important because it's going to lay a foundation of understanding, and I want you to bear with me because what I'm going to be doing in this first session may appear as though it has nothing to do with health, but it has everything to do with health. Okay? And let me just start by telling you about my darling wife. This is my sweetheart, my support, my everything. Strange thing happened. We both went to the U.S. Embassy for our visas, and we had an interview together. They granted me my visa, and they didn't grant her visa. That was very unusual. So she couldn't be here. She's a worship leader. Pastor Eugene got to hear her worshiping, and she just loved the Lord in worship, and she was looking forward to being here. I was supposed to bring a couple of her songs from her new album that she's doing, but that didn't work out either. But I bring you greetings from my darling wife. She's going on 47. I am going on 56. I mentioned that because when people see us together, they often wonder if I'm robbing the cradle, as they say, where I come from. But that's my sweetheart, and one day you may get to meet her. And I want to begin by making a statement, and everything I'm going to say to you today, you can validate it by the word of God, and you can qualify it by the word of God, one way or the other. And I hope that when we have a chance to have questions and answers, take note of everything that you, anything that you hear that sounds strange, because you're going to hear some things that may not be familiar. But take note of it and you'll have a chance to ask questions about it afterwards, and we'll see how it all comes together. I'm going to start by a statement that was made by a very famous research scientist years ago. Okay. Let me just tell you, I've been in clinical practice for 19 years as a naturopathic doctor and lifestyle medicine. Yeah. I thought I was pressing that. And after 19 years of clinical practice, I retired at the beginning of this year to go full-time into ministry, my wife and I. And over the 19 years, God has taken me on a journey of understanding health from a biblical perspective. And it's going to be quite different to what you're accustomed hearing, because there are lots of health has come into the body of Christ over the last decade. But what we have done is that we have adopted the world standards and philosophies and standards and the whole understanding and the whole approach to health. We have brought what the world offers into the church. It doesn't work in the world. It's not going to work in the church either. And the church has its own, the kingdom of God has its own healthcare system. It's free. It is absolutely effective. It is faultless. Everybody can access it, but the church doesn't seem to understand it sufficiently to be able to do so. In the kingdom of God, there is no sickness and there is no disease. And in the church, we speak about us being part of the kingdom of God, but the church, the Christian statistics globally is that 60% of the death in the body of Christ is from lifestyle disease. And that is not a separate malady of life to the divorce rates being so high in the church. I'm sure we are aware of these statistics. Over 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce. There's a lot of domestic problems in the church. There's a lot of relational issues in the church. The church, it's not where it's supposed to be, and the people of God are really suffering terribly in the church. Is that true? I'm not necessarily talking about this community. I'm talking about the body of Christ generally. And I am an unconventional Christian in that I do not, and sometimes it gets me in trouble, but I do not subscribe to the traditional way of Christianity, because I've grown tired of being in church and going around from place to place and communicating with believers, and I've grown tired with how good we are at talking it but not living it. How good we have become at quoting scripture, but it's not a reality of our life. And how we have seemed to grow, we have grown comfortable in that. And it almost seems as though being able to quote scripture is equivalent to being to live in it. And we seem to be okay with that. Well, it has come to a point where it weighs heavier and heavier on my heart. And it's a burden the Lord has put on my heart for the body of Christ and where it has come to, because that's not the body he's coming back for. We say, and everywhere I go, and perhaps here in your community, we say that the Lord is coming back soon. Do you say that here? Christ is, he's going to return. But we don't live as though he is going to return. We say we believe the word of God. Oh, is this just a hymn book? Ah. Thank you. Ah, thank you. We say we believe this. And before I say that, I was sharing some of the things that the Lord laid on my heart to share with your community. And Michelle, my wife, she said, "Are you sure you want to say those things?" I said, "Why?" I said, "You know, I have to do what God says." He said, "But those, some of them may feel you've come to slap them and beat them." Which I thought was putting it a little bit harsh, but believe me, I did not come to offend, but I want to, what I do want, if anything, is that when I leave here, whatever I did made some type of eternal difference in your life. But we cannot say that we believe this and don't live like we really believe it. And I find that pretty much everywhere we go. And so I'm going to take my time and go through these three sessions, laying a foundation, building a framework, and then filling it up so that we could understand. And my whole desire by the Spirit of God is that we will move out of this place of just being able to quote scripture and without it becoming a reality. It has to go from philosophy to reality. And I hope to be able to share what we're going to share to help us to do that and edify us all together. So here's this statement. It was made by a really famous guy. People don't know much about him. But I share that with you because I believe this is actually true. Thank you, sir. Most people don't know what health is because most people are occupied in killing themselves slowly. Would you agree to that? I think pretty much that is true. And we are going to be talking about health, but what the world, and we're also going to look at what the world teaches health is, what the World Health Organization says health is. And we're going to look at it from the medical perspective later on, and then we're going to compare the two, what the Word of God says versus what the world says and what the world teaches, and then we're going to see what the truth is. As I work my way into this, I want to just begin with the next few minutes of laying a framework and a foundation, so I'm going to ask you to bear with me. Follow with me. Follow with your heart. Take your notes, and we're going to bring it all together in the end. We are championing the cause of Christ here at Harvest Fellowship. We're doing that. And listen to the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord, when in his incarnation, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And that's the gospel of the kingdom of God. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to restore sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." In John 14, Jesus said, "The works that I do, you will do also, and even greater works." Now, I don't know from where you sit, but from my vantage point, I don't see that sufficiently in the body of Christ today. Little droplets here and there, but it needs to become, the church today should be an extension of what we saw in the book of Acts. It should be that today. And we have fallen so far short, and the time is coming where the church needs to be restored to that. It should not be that if an altar call for prayer for healing, physical healing, I don't know here at Harvest, but in many churches around the world, it's probably the biggest altar call you'll get is for physical healing. The next one that I've noticed is for financial breakthroughs and for money. And there actually is a link between that, but we need to be able to see the manifestation. And what I've also noticed, I don't know if it happens here, but many times that people come for healing, they don't get it. It doesn't happen. And if it does, it doesn't last. And something is missing in the way we are going about conducting the business of God. And we need to get things right. The commission of God on my life is to help, to do my part in helping to restore things in the body of Christ. And I can't tell you how honored and privileged I am, Pastor Eugene, that you would allow me to come and speak to your community. I take this as a very high honor because it's not being a minister myself in a community church. My wife and I, we are very careful of who come and speak to our people. Because they can say one thing and you have to spend months trying to fix it again. I promise you, sir, I'm not going to do that. If I do, you have permission to hit me with a bat over my head. Or just say, "You're not welcome back," and I would know what I did. Now, I have a question that we need to answer for the time that I'm going to be here. We need to answer this question. I'm going to pose this question to you. In the body of Christ, are we truly free? What would you say? Work with me a little bit. Are we free in the body of Christ? What do you think? Yes and no. That sounds like a lukewarm, one foot in, one foot out. But that's actually a correct, that's a good answer. Someone else? Generally, what do you think? Are we free in the body of Christ?
Free from the law of sin and death.
Free from the law of sin and death. Jesus came and he laid out his resume. This is what I came to do. And he finished it. And when he said it was finished, it was not just finished then, it's finished for all time. What are we missing? We are free positionally, but we don't live, like we have not learned how to walk in this freedom. Because we are free from sickness, from disease, and all the other maladies of this fallen world, we are free from it. And we in the body of Christ live so far below our means. And I hope that after today and tomorrow, that's not going to happen, not at harvest anymore. When we come to understand who we are and what we possess, we will see we do not have to live like this. And God is teaching me and my wife and our community by extension more and more of this. So I'm not just speaking to you from a point of view of philosophy and knowledge, but also from some of the experience. I think even as it's impressed on my heart, maybe tomorrow in the service, we're going to have a service of healing. And we're going to believe God for people in here to be completely healed. This is not a story that comes out of a book. This is real. It is real. Jesus did it then, and he said, the works that he did, we will do also. Now, we need to learn to walk in this freedom. And I have found that the church today seems to be operating like the children of Israel when they were set free from Egypt. And so we are still wondering, we are on our way to the promised land. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness and God doing miracles for them, and they're still doubting. We seem to be the same way. Speaking generally about the body of Christ today. And that's going to change. How do we know that we are not free today? The people of God are suffering too much. Way too much. And we've been free from all of that. I thank God he's made a way for us. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to move from philosophy to reality. Let me tell you what I have noticed for myself in the Word of God, what it is to be free. When we can walk in the will of God, when we can come to that place of living in the perfect will of God, when we can get up on a day and don't have to worry about what to do, how to do it, what decisions to make, how to go about solving anything, because we get everything from our Father. We hear his voice. He talks to us. He leads us. He guides us by his Spirit. We don't have to worry about anything. We have no cares because our life is completely guided by the Spirit of God. When we live by the will of God, we are free. There is no worries. No cares. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father. I delight to do your will, O God. And so free, let me tell you what free is. Free is every day we wake up and we enjoy going about life. We find joy in everything we do. And everything that we're doing is pleasing God. We don't even have to worry about if I'm going to have to answer for this one day, because everything we're doing pleases God. Because everything we do is being led by God. Because we are led by the Spirit of God. There is no worries about anything. I don't have to figure out how to even solve a problem or make the right decision, because I'm always led by the Spirit of God. That's being free. Free. We get up on the morning. We spend our time with God, we commit our day to him, and he'll establish it. Not sometimes, all the time. It is our way of life. And I'm working my way up to bring us to a point to see that the way how church is done generally cannot establish this. We have to step up our game, so to speak, on how church is done. And I want to share this statement, this realization with you, as I'm building, are building us into something. How did I do that? Did I mess that up again? Okay, I got it. Okay. I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about it. There is a great illusion in the body of Christ. This illusion is that we are all separated. In truth, we are all seamlessly interconnected one to the other. There is only one body and one spirit. We who are of God must be awakened from this illusion of separation if we are to walk in the complete freedom and fullness of the perfect will of God and bring the glory of his kingdom into the earth. This is an idea, a concept, a truth, a reality that is really foreign to the body of Christ. We do not understand the concept that we are one body and one spirit. We say it, but we do not perceive it. It's a concept that is not familiar to humanity, generally speaking. But this is who we are. And I want to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about the kingdom of God, and work my way into understanding the kingdom concept of health, and then we're going to work our way through into this afternoon. This has to happen on a micro level and on a macro level, meaning that if the body of Christ was ever to be one body, it means that individually we have to be whole and complete in ourselves if the body is going to be whole and one. Because the body is only, if we have a body of people and it's all a bunch of fragmented people, then it's not one, it's not whole. Is that right? And so that's what we are working towards, is that we want to become one people. And we're going to see why this is so important for us. And this has everything to do with being completely disease-free. And I'll share my testimony about you with the conditions I have and what the Lord, how the Lord took me through that. This is the foundation of what I call authentic unity. And it is myself and you becoming one in Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying that without this abiding principle, we are spiritually impotent. And the church today is spiritually impotent. And I'm going to try not to get too off in my passion with this, because it really gets to me that the church is being spoken down of in the world today. And that bothers me. It bothers me that we are not properly representing the throne of God. It bothers me that when people say in society today, I'm a child of God, it means nothing to nobody anymore. It carries no respect to it. I don't know here in America, but in Trinidad, if you go for a job interview and you say, I'm a Christian, they'll put a mark next to your name. I got to put two eyes on you. Because you're the ones that are the hypocrites that pretend one way, but you don't live it. It really gets to me that the reputation that the church has earned out there. But you and I individually must become one in Christ. If we are going to be spiritually fruitful and potent and make a difference and have an impact in society, this is necessary. There's no way around this. There's no shortcut around it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. It is our guarantee of our spiritual potential. This is not a hit or miss. If we can abide in him and he in us, we will do the works he did also. And as a unified body, even greater works. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. That is the qualification of a true disciple of God. A true disciple of Christ is one that lives in absolute obedience to everything he says. And he's fruitful. He will not violate principle. He will die before he violates principle. He fears God. He honors God. When I say he, I'm speaking genderlessly. So are we together so far? Unity. This is authentic unity. I'm not, you know, there is a, you guys here in America, I'm sure you'll know because the Pope Francis has been going all over the world and championing and getting, rallying a lot of people together and a lot of celebrities and so, and his cause is we need to be one. We need to be one. You're familiar with that. And he's looking at getting all the different religions and bringing them all together. That's not authentic unity. You got a whole bunch of people together, don't mean that they're one. But the church, and the body of Christ, those who follow after Christ, we are the only ones that have what it takes for authentic unity. But we can't say that. If you put the major religions on a world stage, think about this. You line us up on a world stage, the major religions, and say, prove to the world, each one of you, conclusively, hands down, that you are the right one. What would Christianity be able to present to the world that will say, hands down, we are the one? What would we present to them that would not still leave question in the way how we are today? Because believe it or not, the Muslims and the Hindus and the other, they show more unity than we do. And they show that they believe in what in their cause more than we do. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Michelle was saying to me, we were watching this thing about these terrorists, and Michelle said, I wonder if a believer in Christ would strap bombs on and walk into a place and kill themselves for the cause of Christ. If they'll believe that much that they'll actually take their life, like how a Muslim will do that. We got a ways to go. We're still talking about health, by the way. We're talking about health, and we'll understand. But we're going to change this. For it has been declared unto me concerning you that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of Pastor Eugene? It has been, I understand that there are contentions among you. Some says, I'm a Mennonite, and I'm of an Adventist, and I'm of a Catholic, and we're all using the same book. We're all talking the same God, preaching the same Christ, talking about the same Holy Spirit. But we can't get along. In fact, pull one denomination out, the Pentecostals, which are divided into four branches within themselves. But you get a whole bunch of Pentecostals together and put them in a room, they still can't get along. But we'll get along and we'll communicate and we'll have lunch together, but I'm not going to invite you to come and preach in my church. And we'll go to church on Sunday and we'll read the scripture and say, you know what, we're one. It's one body and it's one spirit. The reason why I'm really driving this is because if we don't get past this, we'll never see sickness and disease removed from the church. It is because of the macro division in the church, because of the micro on an individual level, we are messed up. And if we don't heal it, if I don't, and if you don't, if we don't individually do it, the church will never see this. And then we're going to learn in a little while what it's going to take for you and I to do it individually so that collectively we could become one. And we will see the power of God like we've never seen since those days. And I believe we'll see it in greater measure. So let me just go down, and I want to just share a couple of statistics with you. I was doing some research as I was preparing to come here, and I was very surprised to see some of the things. I'm not going to go through all these statistics, but I came across some statistics, and let me just read it regarding the church. This is a Gallup poll that was done, and they looked at church attendance across the United States. And you can just kind of look at that, but some of these statistics that The number of Americans with no religious affiliation has grown by 25% in the last 5 years. The younger you are, the more likely you are to not be affiliated with a religion. 9% of all U.S. adults that are 65 or older have no religious affiliation, and a whopping 32% of all U.S. adults under the age of 30 have no religious affiliation. 88% of those that are religiously affiliated are not looking, that are not religiously affiliated, are not looking for a religion. 73% of religious unaffiliated support gay marriage, and 72% of the religiously unaffiliated support legalized abortion. Let me just skip through some of those. 29% of U.S. adults seldom or never attend religious services. There are a couple of them I want to get down to here. This is from a 2010 survey, said that there are 350,000 registered Christian churches in America, and 4 out of 5 were either plateaued or declining, with 3,500 closing every year. That's the state of the church. We cannot sit here and say it has nothing to do with me, because we are part of a body. If we say, our mindset on this really has to change. We cannot say we love Christ and not love his body. We cannot say we love Christ and not be concerned with the condition of the church. And now we have to employ efforts to help not just our own community, but as God will lead us out, because the church, and I believe with all my heart, Pastor Eugene, that we have come to an era in the move of God on the earth where he's moving it back to this, where the body of Christ has to be healed. And there are going to be those he's going to raise up around this world to do that, and they are going to be persecuted by the church because they're going to go against the status quo, and they're going to go against tradition, and there are a lot of people that don't want to change that. It's too comfortable, and there's too much to gain as it is right now. So all that just to say, that's where we are, and we have to be concerned of individual unity with Christ, our oneness with him, so that collectively we could become one, not just for us and for harvest, but for the body of Christ. This is a mentality that the church needs, that you cannot love Christ and not love his body. And do you know what exists out there as I move around and I go to different assemblies? Everybody's for themselves. Everybody's building their own little kingdoms around. I used to go to a church some years ago, and it still exists. This is the general thing in the body of Christ. I used to go to a church in Trinidad where I live, and right across the church that I used to go to was another full gospel evangelical church. And in the next mile and a half down the road, they had 3 other full gospel evangelical churches, and just up the road there was an Anglican church. Just in a small radius, and none of those churches knew each other or what each other was doing. If the church across the road was having a week of special events and so on, my pastor would say, "Neil, put up a big banner and they'll be advertising." He don't want his members to go and visit and see what special events they're having. In fact, the pastor that I had then would say, used to discourage his members from going around and visiting, because they may end up somewhere that they may not come back. We do not understand there is one body and one spirit. We do not yet understand this concept. And so we're going to have to heal this condition. So this is what we're going to be looking at. This is the macro picture we're trying to heal, but it's going to come down to you and I individually healing our own position. And that's where we're going to eradicate not just sickness and disease. The principles we're going to talk about today, brothers and sisters, is not just about how to be free of disease, it's to be how to be free of every other malady. Because sickness and disease is not a separate problem than the domestic problems that we have in homes. It's not a separate problem. It's not a separate problem than crime. It's not a separate problem than the divorce rate. There are many manifestations of the same problem. And the only institution in society that has the solution is the church. Universities don't teach you this. The workplace don't teach you this. The only place that can bring a person into wholeness and fix the ills of society is the church. But the church itself is crippled with the same problems. And we cannot be comfortable with that. We just cannot be. That will be my prayer, if there's any prayers, that when we are done this weekend, that everybody's uncomfortable with doing church as usual. And saying, you know what? We have to do something about this. So we're going to bridge the gap, both individually and collectively, and we're going to bring the church into its place. I hope to God, I pray by the Spirit of God, that hearts the hearts will be moved for the cause of Christ. This is who we are. In short, we are a chosen by the Creator. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The culture of the kingdom of God is a culture of oneness. And we're talking about championing the cause for Christ. This is our key right here. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, in part says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Today, the church reaches out with missions and different outreach efforts to reach the lost, and that's good. And what I've noticed that's happened over the years is that the church has had to adopt a lot of secular strategies to try and win the lost. Just to get people to come into an event at church, they have to employ secular ways to try and get people to come to an event in church. And Jesus said, if we would be one, the world would both believe and the world would know. If he can find a people that functions with one heart and one mind, have all things in common, have one soul, believe the same thing, have the same hope, are filled and are guided and led by the same Spirit, speak the same language, we would not have to be fighting up to try and win the lost. In fact, the way the world is today, everybody will be saying, we want what they have, because the world is in such a mess today. So this is where we're heading. We want the collective unity, but it begins with, I need to know what it is to abide in him. And when we all could abide in him, we will become one. Fair enough? And let me show, this is how potent this is. We all know this scripture. And we know this account when they were trying to build the Tower of Babel and they were trying to reach up to God. Something that God did not approve of. And in Genesis 11:6 it says, and the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this thing, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible to them. Now here it is, a group of people who were in one accord doing something that God didn't approve of, and God said, if I didn't go and dismantle that, not even I could stop them. Nothing could be impossible when you find a group of people that function like they're one. That's the power of the church. That's the greater works that we will do as a body of people. So, we have to go for it. I finished one leg. Next leg. I want to encourage us that as we pursue and as we consider this journey, it seems like this scripture that Jesus, when Jesus said this over 2,000 years ago, it seems like it applies today. Mark 1:14-15, now after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of the God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And I'm sure we all know that repent there meant just to think differently, as though to say, if you don't think differently, you really won't believe this gospel. And I want us to recognize that for us to really come to the place of being true people of God, the body of Christ, being one in Christ, being led to be sons of God, where we are led by the Spirit of God, it is going to require a shift in our thinking. It is a complete shift in paradigm. We cannot continue to see or think of things the same way, not the way the world, the church is doing it, and see this come to pass. Does that make sense to anybody? When we say church, in Trinidad, if I'm speaking with a bunch of people, Christians, and we say church, speaking generally, church brings with it an unconscious connotation that when you hear church, what do you think? Well, we come to church on Sunday, and there's a particular format, and we sing songs, and we word this preach, and we fellowship together, and church, that's what church is what we do from week to week. But we know that the church, when Jesus said, I would build my church, the word ecclesia there, is we are the called out ones. We're the ones that's been set apart. So when we say that we are the church, we have to see it in a different light, that we are not like the world. We are called out of this system. We are called out of its patterns and its ways, and we are established in a completely new way of living. Which means that when we go and we look at the church today and it resembles the world, something is wrong. People are supposed to see a complete difference between who we are and the world. Isn't that true? That may not be altogether what exists today, and so that also is an indication that we need to change. So we want to begin to change our thinking and a paradigm, which is where we are locked. Everybody's locked into one paradigm or another, but when it comes to what the world and the kingdom of God, and we have to change the way how we think about the church and how we think about the kingdom of God. When we come to understand that and the world, we have to change. We cannot take standards of the world, bring it into the church, and make it okay. In the church today, we are very comfortable to do that. The church will not change. Sickness and disease and all the other maladies of life will continue to plague us unless we start to make these changes. Am I making sense so far? Okay. So I want us to set it in our minds that this paradigm, this shift, is a new platform that we need to start thinking of as the body of Christ, not just as an assembly, but the body of Christ. And as I do that, I want to just say a little bit about the kingdom of God and just add put some type of perspective to it. The kingdom of God, I perceive it's like a world within a world. The kingdom of God is a very real, literal place that we can live with and experience God while we walk on this earth. We cannot experience the kingdom of God living like the world, thinking like the world, and employing the world's way. We cannot do that and experience the kingdom. They are two different, diametrically opposed systems altogether. Is that right? And this is something we're going to have to understand. And later on, in the session after, we'll understand how that applies to us walking effectively like Christ does. So just keep tracking with me, and please make your notes. Jesus said, or we are taught in the scriptures, the kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor will they say it's here or there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, wherever the king is his kingdom. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. The kingdom of God is within the heart of man if Christ truly dwells in our heart. His kingdom is there. And if we will learn what that means and how to live there, we will experience, we could live in this world and not be affected by this world. And I want us to understand this a little bit. Jesus taught us that, he said in John 17, they, speaking of his disciples, and of course extension us, he said, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. If we find that the way we live is like this world, then we need to back up and question some things. I want us to think about the difference between these two, the world and the kingdom of God, the shift in paradigms. Think about it. It's a completely opposite thing. It moves us from depending on natural abilities to now utilizing spiritual capacities. It moves us from depending on natural intelligence to living by revelation, wisdom from God. It moves us from walking by sight to where we live by faith. It moves us from hearers of the word to just absolute doers of the word. It's two different ways of living and even thinking. Are you following me? When we live in the kingdom of God, we live by hearing voice God. We live by revelation. We don't depend on natural intelligence. We depend on wisdom from God, which he reveals by his spirit. Why? Those who walk by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. When we are led by the Spirit as sons of God, do you know what we can do? Exactly what Christ did. Is that right? I love this. I love the kingdom of God. I was trying to look for a picture that could depict what it is to be like in the kingdom of God. Two completely opposite worlds. If we live, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Nothing, what he meant is that nothing of this world is like anything of his kingdom, and vice versa. If we find that we are thinking like and living like and following the ways of this world, then know that we are not experiencing the kingdom of God. We could talk about it, we can quote stuff, but we don't experience it. If we are walking in the kingdom of God with the king, we don't look anything like the world. We don't talk, behave, think, speak like the world. We become very peculiar people, and we don't seem to fit in. I think that's one of the challenges that people have too. They want to fit in. And that's why this journey has to be done together. In fact, God designed it that the journey of salvation and sanctification into unity and oneness must be done as a body. And so we are working towards spiritual maturity. Now watch what Jesus said, sanctify them. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You want to not be of this world, you have to be sanctified. You have to become holy people. And that's done only one way. By truth. By the word of God, which is truth. That makes us pure and holy. When it's what rules our heart. That is what makes us not like the world. So we can know when we have the word of God hidden in our hearts and live by it. Because we really don't look like or live like. And speak like and behave like the world. Still with me? So I look for a picture of what that looks like, and this picture came out of an experience that I had with God with the kingdom of God. I don't know if you can see that properly. That's a glass tunnel that's running into the ocean. And there's a lady and there's some people inside the glass tunnel. Now there is like a world inside of a world. Now, they're in the ocean, in this, and the outside, they can see and experience all that, but it doesn't touch them. It doesn't influence their life. When we walk in the kingdom of God, when we walk as Christ did, the world around us, there is no struggle in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There will always be challenges and trials until the day we die. That doesn't stop. That's how we learn obedience. That's how we learn to grow in godly character and so on. So we'll always have some type of trial or some type of challenge to face along the way. But the trials and the challenges that come along the way, when we live in the kingdom with a completely different mindset, we are full of joy when they come. We rejoice in suffering. We are glad. We don't even see it as a challenge or a problem. Let me give you a couple of examples of in the book of Acts, where the early saints lived and experienced the kingdom. Let's take Paul, first of all. Here is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, put yourself in this position. What kind of person? The Lord says to you, I need you to go down to Denver. Is Denver somewhere close by? I need you to go down to Denver. But when you get down there, some people are going to hold you. They're going to beat you. They're going to throw you in jail. They're going to make a mess of you when you get down there. And your attitude is, nevertheless, with joy in my heart, I'm going. It does not affect my life. Now, if you live in this world and God says to you, go down there, but when you get there, you'll be accosted, you'll be beaten, you'll be thrown in jail, a mess is going to be made of your life, we will rebuke the devil and say, that could never be God. It can't be God because I'm his child. He won't put me through that. We would make all kind of but oh yeah, because we can't imagine doing that and then going through that. Nobody wants pain and suffering. But in the kingdom, you don't see that. In the kingdom, that's a reason to rejoice. In the kingdom, our perspective is, I rejoice in my sufferings so that I could fellowship. Or I fellowship with the sufferings so that I could walk in the resurrection power that he's put inside of me. I can know the power in me by his spirit, if I would fellowship with him. Our different perspective. How would you feel, any of us in here? They're persecuting the Christians in America. All over America, they're persecuting the Christians. And they came to Philadelphia here, and they started burning your houses, looting your houses, putting all the Christians in jail. Which is what the Romans were doing at the time when they were persecuting the Christians. And some of us begin to hide and so because nobody wants to go through all of that. And a bunch of people from Harvest Fellowship says, you know what, they got our friends and they got our family in jail. They've burned their houses, they've taken everything. We need to go to the prison and visit them. But if we go, they'll know who we are, then they will come and they will take all of our possessions and then put us in jail. But with joy and with singing, let's go anyway. It doesn't matter. The world doesn't touch you. The world doesn't affect you. You live in a place where the Spirit of God, the love of God, it rules your life. You have a hope that goes beyond what this world could see. You're not moved by the maladies of this life. You rise above them. You don't live with lack. You're never in lack. The kingdom of God is a wonderful place for us to get it. You live in this world, it don't touch you. I wrote this, put this here, is that living in the kingdom of God while on the earth is the experience of an internal dimension within an external without being touched by the external. You don't feel what's going on there. It doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what they do, it doesn't matter what they want to do. It does not send me back into, oh God, why me? Oh God, how could this be? That's not even our thinking. Are you still with me? And so there is a bridge that you and I need to cross. And it's going to depend on which rules our life. Either we are on the side of the world or we are on the side of the kingdom. If we are on the side of the world, the flesh will rule our life and we will not be able to stop the devil from having a way with us. We will continue to struggle with life. We cannot escape as long as any man, Christian or non-Christian, lives according to the patterns of this world. The flesh will rule our lives. And as long as the flesh rules our life, it is not possible to stop the devil from getting a foothold in your life. And if we would be honest, the majority of Christendom today live according to the world. We don't want to admit it, but we do. We are so locked in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is all of the world. And the Lord says, if that's our position, the love of the Father is not in us. And we can never see unity without love. We will never see the power of God without love. So we have to bridge from being influenced by the things of the world to being in the kingdom, being led by the Spirit of God, and living for God. That's a bridge we have to cross, and that's where we're going to cross. In the kingdom of God, you see on this side over here, with the world, that's where all the sickness and disease is. That's where all the maladies and frustrations, that's where the depression and the anxiety, the fears, the worries, that's where all the negative things exist. That is the fallen life, but Christ came to set us back right. We have to just let it go. We have to let it go. But this world is so luring. Here's what Romans 8 have to say about that. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I underline that because we need to understand everything. Life is experienced in this thing called mind. Our mind, as a man thinketh, but therefore, if we live according to the flesh, our minds are set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, that's spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we live in the flesh, we could talk about living by faith, but we really don't know how to live by faith. If the flesh rules our life, we will come to church and we will hear the word of God and we will say, oh, that was a really good word. It didn't change our life though. It doesn't get into our heart and transfigure our heart and become a reality. Because once we are carnally minded, we're not even subject to the laws of God. And so it becomes intellectual knowledge. It sounds good. That's true. But it doesn't touch my heart and change it. And that's a lot of churches today. If we don't move from the world, the side of the world, into the kingdom of God, we would keep coming to church. And we'd be in church for 20 years and still can't bear the fruit of the Spirit. Struggling to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Very good at speaking the talk, but life is still a struggle. Still can't get along with my spouse. My children going wayward. My business falling through. Can't seem to get along with people. And life is just one mess. And we say we are people of God. And then we try to witness to someone on the job. Why do I want what you have? You have my same problems. And you can't seem to solve them any better than me. So why should I come to your God? You're still talking about health.